You're like, I'm going to make a note here to start sad B. And then the music fades in. Exactly. And then Marissa comes on.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, side B.
All right. So you ready to talk about Watch the Throne? For real? Actually talk about the music?
Let's do it, man. I'm very interested to talk about this.
Okay. So track one, No Church in the Wild, featuring Franklin Oceanic and Tarius Nash. So in 2011, when we first talked about this, I thought this was good but not great, and you really liked it. How do you feel about it now?
I'm not crazy about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it.
Oh, no.
I'm not crazy about it. The beat is still dope.
The beat's great.
Frank's good on the hook. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about the content.
Oh.
And I don't know. It just didn't hit. Because what I did was I listened to it today. I let the whole album run except for what record did I skip? Was it Ham? Yeah, Ham's the only record I skipped only because I just didn't feel like hearing it. Not because I think it's whack. I just didn't feel like hearing it.
Right.
But I let the whole album play today. And I was just like, eh. Like, it was a chore to listen to this song.
Really?
And I'm shocked. I know. I'm not like arms folded like, I don't like this. I was just like, dang, I used to really like this record. What happened?
I love the hook. I didn't really like the hook that much. And I thought it was cool in 2011. I really like the hook now. I like both Jay and Kanye on this. The beat's great. Yeah. I think this song's great. I think it's a great opener. Remember that stupid video for this song?
I don't.
It's like a mob scene outside. Like, I don't know. It was useless. I'll put it that way. So when you say you don't like the content about this, can you be more specific? Because I really want to know.
Was it the
hoopla around the content that made you sort of get sick of the song, or?
Nah, because I completely forgot. You know, I had a friend, she wrote a whole breakdown of what she thought the meaning was. And, you know, that was kind of like the last Illuminati talk that you heard. So I forgot about it until you brought it up just now. Just me listening to it. I'm not crazy about flipping, I'm trying to put this in the right context and not at all water down what I want to say. I'm not crazy about them flipping the religious content in the way that they did to sort of put themselves. It was like in a God complex sort of way. And I'm just like,
yeah.
And I'm just like, why? I totally get why, but like, for what? Like, what? You know, it's like sometimes I'm really offended by it. And then sometimes I'm just like, this is just completely unnecessary. Mm. And it's just one of those instances where it was just completely unnecessary. And it just didn't jive well with me. You know, maybe I've just grown and matured. Maybe I'm old. Maybe, you know, just gotten deeper in my faith. Maybe I just don't want to hear that now.
Yeah.
Or maybe it just is different. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm not crazy about the content. And I feel like it took away from the song for me.
So one song that I'm guessing we haven't changed our opinion on is Liftoff.
Yeah.
I should point out No Church in the Wild was produced by 88 Keys, Kanye, Mike Dean. Liftoff produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, Q-Tip, Pharrell, Jeff Basker. There's like 8 people on the song. When we recorded the original Watch Throne episode, this is the one where I was literally just screaming, there are too many people on this song. Because, you know, that was still a novel thing in 2011.
Right.
Hearing it now, to me, Liftoff, and of course featuring Beyonce, I understand, I feel like this beat makes more sense now. I still don't really like it. But hearing what Kanye and Mike Dean did with his sound after this, I kind of get the tempo of this a little bit more. And I kind of get some of the stuff they're doing. I still think it feels more like they had a Beyonce hook and then they tried to build a song around that, and it just didn't really work for me. Still, I actually think the outro is really dope, but the song itself, nah, I'm good.
You know, if this was just a Beyonce and Jay record, I wouldn't mind it.
Oh, it's Kanye you don't like.
Oh, that's going to be a reoccurring theme.
Oh, don't do
on
this
album.
Because we can fight. We can start fighting about this in the next song. But
listen, you're going to be here in 2 weeks. There's a whole parking lot where we can fight this out.
It's going to be me and the Mean Street Posse.
Bring them. Bring Pete Gas. Bring Joey Abs. Bring them all. I don't care. Like, yeah, this Kanye mumbling on this record, I'm cool. I don't mind Beyonce on this record. I don't mind the hook. I agree with you. I feel like this was like a Beyonce record that wasn't done. And they were like, well, let's try it. Maybe it was on the Beyonce and Jay album or whatever. Mm. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. This was something, they didn't bring Beyonce in for this. This was a Beyonce record that they took and, you know, tried to add or whatever. I'm not crazy about it. I don't ever play it all the way through. But when I played it today, I was like, huh, this isn't bad. And then Kanye came on. I was like, yeah, this is bad.
Okay, let's talk about Brothers in Paris.
Ball so hard.
Ball so hard. produced by Hit-Boy, Kanye, Mike Dean. In retrospect, I wasn't nearly enthusiastic enough about the song when it came out. You loved it when we first talked about it.
Interesting.
I thought it was pretty good, but I had other favorites on the song. This song turned out to be, you're going to hate this word, iconic.
That's a big word, Doc.
There's a lot going on in this song. Like, the Blades of Glory sample is still just perfect. Hit-Boy's drums on this are ridiculous. And Kanye's verse is both not great and great at the exact same time.
Yeah.
It's actually like, it's not even remotely close to being a lyrical verse, and yet it's so quotable. So ridiculously quotable. How do you feel about this song 5 years later?
You know how I feel about singles.
They really played this one too.
Yes, they did.
The whole 9 times, 10 times at a concert thing.
Again! Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, God. Yeah. Nah. This isn't a record that I mean, they're still playing this on the radio out here.
Sounds like we're going to take these radio dudes in the parking lot when I get out there.
Listen, I know a lot of those radio DJs. I know more than a few. So, you know, when we get this record that we're sitting on to the radio, I'm be like, yo, can y'all do me a favor and switch that out with Niggas in Paris, please? But yeah, like, I'm not crazy about this record now, but iconic is a big,
it's a big word.
It's a big word, but I can't argue it because it was a huge record.
Huge record. Kanye, like I said, Kanye's verse is dumb, but like, much like the Will Ferrell movie that it samples, gloriously dumb.
You know, I've never seen
Oh,
I know.
Oh man,
I know. Listen. I have nothing but time now.
We got to get your comedy game up.
Yeah, like I'm desperately trying to, like, you know, figure out what songs or not what songs, what TV shows and movies I need to, like, be up on. You know what I'm saying? So after, you know, I'm caught up on the night of, now I got time. Today I got time, cuz. So, you know, let me know something that I need to watch.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've ever seen, like, have you seen Talladega Nights before?
Of course. Of course.
Then you're going to like Blades of Glory.
Okay.
But yeah. What at the time, I feel like I really overrated the outro on this song.
Didn't you?
There's another one inspired
by that.
There's another song on here I was more inspired by, and I also overrated the heck out of that outro. But no, this, yeah, like, I don't know, this song's great.
So, wasn't there a song that you and I did that you were inspired by?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The
outro? Okay. Yep. All right. Just remember.
You know, Pusha turned this beat down.
Yeah. I mean, no, I get it because, I mean, it just happened to me a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
A beat that a producer submitted to me that I really liked, but never wrote to. Somebody else took it and did something with it, and they're having success with it. And, you know, more power to him.
No, this is a case where he was like, he rejected it. Like, he thought it sounded like a video game.
Well, here's the thing. I don't like Push on bouncy beats anyway. We talked about his flow on Darkest Before Dawn. Like, some of those tempos, he was kind of bumbling through.
But see, now I'm just thinking about 2010, 2011 Pusha, just hearing all these Hip-Boy beats. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, man.
But, I mean, he did take My God.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, you know, it depends on what he was playing. This is the thing that people don't understand. Beat, when you're listening to beats, you should always listen to beats. Oh, I'm giving out gems. You should always listen to the beats twice. Initially, yeah, when you're in the studio, vibe out, whatever, whatever. If you're not sure about something, even if you don't like something, take it with you anyway.
Right.
Because you may be in a different mindset.
Different headspace, right.
Absolutely. And then you hear something 3 days later, a month later. I text Doc all the time like, yo, I was listening to beat, blah, blah, blah. And Doc is like, really? And Doc has sent it to me like 6 months ago and it'll finally hit me. It happens.
And actually what I do now, like, it's, I think it's the same when you make music. Like if I have an idea for something, sometimes I think it's the greatest thing ever. And then I come back the next day and I'm like, this is terrible. Yep. Sometimes I put something together. I'm like, I don't really know. But you know what? I just save it, move on to the next one. Because sometimes I'll come back to that and be like, oh, well, what I really need to do is this.
Yep.
Like sometimes I'll get the sample right, but the drums aren't right. And I'm like, nah. And I would normally, and I used to just scrap that stuff. But now I just save it, move on to the next one. I come back and I'm like, oh, right. I got the drums now. I figured it out. I did something like that today after work. I had a little something and listen, I have no joke. I have easily like 50 unfinished ideas that I've done this year that you haven't heard yet. Like I have now like just ideas floating around. So we can take some of these and mold them. But anyway.
All right, you'll be here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so this is a case where like I saved it and I'll come back to it and you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But yeah, so you are not feeling as great about the song as you used to. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's just because it just got played today. It was such a big record and I'm just not crazy about big records or whatever, but the record's still, you know, taking nothing away from it.
So speaking of singles then, Otis.
Yeah,
man, this song is pure joy.
Yes, it is.
The video for this is great.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
you know people always talk about Flex premiering this. I prefer his premiere of DOA.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just hearing Flex and Mr. C giggle while Jay-Z name drops them in a record, it just always does something to me. It always turns my frown upside down. I don't know.
I really like Kanye on here. I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like Jay, he's starting to do, like on this song, he's starting to do something that I hear him do a lot lately, which is you can tell he's got a couple ideas in his head for like particular lines. And he's trying to like get from one like good idea to the next, and sometimes he doesn't really know how to, like, you knew he wanted to say this thing about his new watch alert, you know, he wanted to say I invented swag, but getting from one point to the next, it's kind of like, eh, I don't know. Oh, okay, we made it.
He said he wanted to say new watch alert.
In retrospect, Khaled is just completely ripping Jay-Z off.
Absolutely.
Going back and hearing these old Jay, some of these old Jay stuff, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
But
Yep. No, this record is still great. It won a Grammy. This was the first leak, but this was out before Ham, right?
No, Ham was out way earlier.
Ham was out way earlier.
The reception to Ham was so bad.
Which is great. We'll
talk about that.
Yeah, we'll
the reception to Ham was so bad that they basically went dark.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah. You know, I know it's not the most complicated beat on the planet, but it just works.
It totally works. It totally works. So no, and I agree, this is Kanye's best performance lyrically on this album.
Maybe.
I don't like Kanye. I'm just going to get out the way. I don't like Kanye lyrically on this album at all. I think he stinks it up a lot.
Don't do that.
Oh, no. Like, people think that Jay didn't do well and Kanye killed. Oh, no, it's the other way around.
There's a couple songs in here where Kanye gets Jay.
Nah. No, this might be the only one.
One of the bonus tracks.
You know what? We'll get there. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm interested to hear what you say. No, there's one more record where Kanye gets Jay.
Okay.
Well, Nate, never mind. No, he doesn't. Never mind. Let's. What's next?
Gotta Have It. So,
yes.
This is Kanye. This is the Neptunes and Kanye. I was not super enthusiastic about this when we reviewed it initially. You were. You totally got it right. This song is great.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I love Jay and Kanye sort of going back and forth on this. Love the beat. Love the James Brown samples. Love everything.
Yep. It all works. Yeah, it all works. It all works. Great record.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about this one. It's like, yep, it's good.
Sometimes that's it. You can't break it down.
It's really good. It's really good.
It's just dope.
There's a run on this album to me.
Okay.
Because like, once you get past Liftoff, to me, there's a long time before I'm skipping anything on this album. And the next track, New Day, you didn't love this one as much in 2011. I believe you even, this might have been the first recorded instance of Trackmaster slander on the show. You compared the drums on this to Trackmaster's drums.
Oh,
which I immediately correctly identified as I said something to the effect of, wow, like 6 years ago, that would have been a slur, which would have been accurate.
Wow.
This is,
what's wrong with me?
This is Kanye. I know, I have no idea.
Stupid.
This is Kanye, RZA, Mike Dean. This beat is great. This song is great. Kanye and Jay both get personal in a good way. Yeah. How do you feel about this song?
I'm still not crazy about this record.
Oh! What is your beef with this record?
It's just Mad Eye.
It's just Mad, all right.
It's just Mad Eye. I mean, the beat is cool. This was the other record where I was like, I think Kanye gets Jay on this, but no, I think they both just, I think the lyrics are probably the best part of this record. Of course, I'm going to say that. My soft spot for rap records about children.
The hook with the horns that come in is beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're gonna talk about fake beautiful records on this album.
Listen, if it's the record, I think it is.
You know what record it is.
We've been waiting to have this fight. We didn't have this fight for 5 years.
That's fine.
No, New Day's great. I don't think either one of them gets like. I will say like flow wise, neither one of them gets like super in pocket on this.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like an earnestly good record from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even from Kanye, because you don't often get that from Kanye, you know, and he's got like the little humorous lines in there because it's Kanye. But like, it's true. Like, I mean, to a certain extent, like that whole way he opens his verse up is that's exactly like that's just perfect Kanye.
Yeah. Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about That's My Check.
Yes.
Featuring Ellie Jackson, Justin Vernon, produced by Kanye, Q-Tip. So, yes, this is indeed Justin Vernon doing an incredible Charlie Wilson impersonation.
Is it?
It is.
That's not Charlie Wilson?
That's Justin Vernon.
What? That's funny. Didn't we make fun of that part?
You were like, how you were definitely sort of incredulous that was not Charlie Wilson. And I was like, he's not credited. I don't know. But no, it's actually Justin Vernon.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really mad that I'm not going to Eau Claire's, his music festival. It's this weekend. He's debuting he's playing the new Bon Iver album live.
Okay.
Killing me. And then the next night, Francis and the Lights closes the whole show out.
Yeah, that's right up your alley. Why you ain't going?
Listen, getting out to Minnesota, and then I got to fly to Minnesota, then I got to rent a car. It was a lot of money last year.
Got you.
Funds is tight. Anyway, this originally leaked out end of 2010.
Yeah, this leaked mad early. Yeah,
right around the time of Ham, I think.
Yep.
But this wasn't intentional. And then we heard an initial version of this, but this is definitely reworked and improved.
Yeah.
I love this beat. Obviously.
Of course.
But it's just really well done.
It is.
Like considering it's built off the Apache break, it just works. And Jay on this.
Jay murders this.
Yeah. This is nice. Kanye's fine.
Nah.
Jay
no,
murders
he's not
this.
Fine. He's not good on this.
No, I like him. I like him on this. But but no. Jay goes in a little bit. As much as you can go in on a song like this.
Nah, I think you can just because, man, I mean, you know, sometimes you just want to, you know, brag on your chick.
Right.
You know, I got a good one. And I think, you know, when that's done well, like it should be celebrated and appreciated. And Jay kills this.
Yeah.
So like literally like this might be one of the last. Well, there's a couple, but this is like a really, really good Jay verse.
Yeah. For this decade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yep. This is a really good J-verse.
Yep.
He's got a couple on here that I was like, okay.
Yes, he does.
I think you underrate Kanye in this project, but I was like, okay, okay. Nah. I acknowledge.
You said I underrate him on this?
No, I said that wrong.
You mean
Yeah.
But
you underrate. Yeah, that's right. You underrate Kanye on this. Kanye is better on this than you think he is.
No.
Yes.
I disagree.
I know you do. I know you do. So let's talk about Welcome to the Jungle, which is essentially mostly a Jay solo record.
Uh-huh.
You did not love this in 2011.
Did I? Okay.
And I get why, right? I mean, the beat is pretty repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it's not very long.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it has Swizz ad-libs. It's true. Because think about it. If this were any longer and didn't have Swizz ad-libs on it, this beat would get really old really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the song. I think Jay's good on it, but I don't think he's amazing on it.
Mm.
Frankly, I think the best part about this is the Swizz Beatz ad-libs.
That's funny.
How do you feel about this?
I like it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's grown on me. It definitely grew on me. I feel like it was one of those records where one day I was listening to the album and I was like, yo, hold up. This is kind of dope. So it's just the right length.
Mm.
If it was a whole song, I wouldn't like it. I'd skip it.
Yeah, if this were like four and a half minutes long.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Yeah, no go.
Okay, so I think we kind of agree. This is a good song.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about a song that hasn't aged well to me.
Which is?
Who Gonna Stop Me?
Yes.
Produced by Sak Passe, Kanye, Mike Dean. You know, at the time, I acted like this beat was the second coming.
Like Juel Santana and Just Blaze, the second coming?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure how well this has aged.
Oh, I am. I'm sure.
The dubstep influence really dates it.
And I blame advertisers for that. Like, they caught the wave a little bit early.
Yep. And then you can only see so many trailers for movies.
And car commercials. And
car commercials, Mountain Dew commercials. Like, yeah, you can only see so much of that.
Mountain Dew commercials. Right.
But at the time, you know, it was like, oh.
Yeah, it was different. It was different in a good way.
Yeah. I still like this song. I don't love it. I still think the outro works though. It's kind of, yeah. I like the outro maybe more than, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth on this. This is, at the time, I think this was probably one of my favorite songs in the album, and it's probably in the middle of the pack for me now.
Mm.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay. We can definitely talk about Murder to Excellence, though.
Yes, we can.
Because, so Murder to Excellence, first half Murder, produced by Swizz. Second half Excellence, produced by S1. Frankly, just a like gobsmacking beat from Swizz. Like, does not sound like a Swizz beat in any way.
At all.
Really great sample. Ridiculous beat. I think Kanye and Jay both killed this, actually.
Yeah, Kanye doesn't bother me on this.
Mm.
Yeah, he's not bad on this at all.
Yeah. And we're talking about Murder specifically, the first half of this. That beat is everything. Like, I'm kind of mad it wasn't longer.
Nah, I'm good.
Because actually the flip to Excellence kind of...
Don't do it.
I'm cool. Excellence is cool.
You're bugging.
No, it's cool. The beat's just not as good.
You're bugging. You are bugging, bro.
Kanye and Jay are fine on Excellence, but like... And it's funny, right? Because thematically, like, this second half of this is the concept of the album.
Yeah.
Black Excellence.
Yep.
But to me, it's just a letdown from Murder. But you feel differently.
Nah. Yeah. Nah. Murder Excellence is just...
Nah.
Nah. Yeah. Nah. Yeah. Yeah. Nah. Murder Excellence is just... It's just dope, man. Just the beat switch. All I love just the complete stop on a dime, sharp turn into Excellence. I love that.
Mm.
I love that. So, nah. I don't have any... This is one of my favorite records on the album now. Like, yeah. Nah, that's right. That record's hard. I don't have anything to say. It's just hard. It's a hard record.
And the sequencing is interesting here because you know it's not a particularly hard record. Is Made in America.
Yeah, can we talk about, do you want to talk about Made in America or do we want to talk about the sequencing?
Let's get through and then we can talk about the sequencing. So this is also produced by Sak Passe and Mike Dean, same guy who helped produce Who Gonna Stop Me. So at the time, the infamous Planetarium blog reviews, people were talking about Frank Ocean like he was the second coming here.
Yes, he is.
This beat just does not work for me. And then I just don't even know where to start from there. Honestly, Frank's okay on the hook. I have no, I mean, I realize we used to kind of, we used to make fun of him a lot on the show for singing about Sweet Queen Coretta.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't think as a song, I just don't think like the actual execution works. Tell me you've changed your mind because that would be hilarious.
No.
Okay.
This record is still really, really bad. This is not a good song.
Mm.
People were, you know, saying that they were proud to be American. They were proud to be black. Like, no, nothing about this says black excellence or like America the Beautiful. Nope.
I get this, right? If you're going to have this on the album, I get it, right? Welcome to the Jungle, Who Gonna Stop Me, Murder to Excellence. You got to put this in somewhere. So you, this is sort of the thematic come down before you bring everybody back up again for the next track.
Yeah.
I get that. I just don't think it's a good song. And like, what's weird is there are, because there are bonus tracks, like this did not need to be here, you know? But I think thematically, the idea is it builds off of excellence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like absolutely.
Like Murder to Excellence and Made in America. Like if you sort of accept as fact that Kanye and Jay like the beat to Made in America, then pairing these two back to back makes a ton of sense. But I don't know anybody who likes Made in America.
Yeah.
Like who? Actually, yeah. If you're listening to this and you like Made in America, first of all, hit us up on Twitter. Secondly, I'd really love to know why. Like, maybe people just really, they actually like the beat and it gives them a certain feel. But like for me, no, can't do it.
It's because you're white, Doc. Oh. You don't understand the struggle.
I mean, understand beats.
That's what I was going to say. Like, this is one of those things where I feel like people like the song because of what the intention of its representation was.
Mm.
But move all that aside. This is just a bad record. It's right. Goofy. It's goofy. I spent half of this record laughing. Like, it's just a goofy record. I'm totally good. Nope. This record is trash. Only preceded by another trash song on the album, which is Why I Love You.
Don't do it. Listen, Why I Love You, produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, featuring Mr. Hudson. And what is got to be the best use of Mr. Hudson on a song I've ever heard. This song is great. This hook is great. The beat is great. And Jay destroys this.
You know, Jay does kill this lyrically.
The end of the first verse, a few squares, the circle got smaller, the castle got bigger. Like that whole... Okay. Not so much? Not a fan? You don't like anything about this song, do you?
I mean, like I said, I like Jay on here lyrically. I was listening. Because as soon as I hear the hook, like... Maybe I talked about this before. The way it comes on, I don't like. Like, if I feel like it should have gotten a build up.
No.
It just comes on. I don't like that. And then just like I hate the super high pitch
after
Mr. Hudson sings.
Oh, it's great. Anytime anybody interacts with a sample on a song, I'm in.
No, but I feel like I don't mind Mr. Hudson on it because it gives me like the cheesy 80s vibe. So it gives me very Heatmakers Dipset, you know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
But like, just keep Mr. Hudson, just have him sing it twice. Don't have him duet with a sped up sample. I don't like that. It's cheesy.
That's great. This is way better. Remember that Forever Young? Oh, Young Forever, whatever it was.
Oh, what's worse? What's the worst song? I guess I can't ask you that.
Young Forever.
Like, both of those records are really
good. No. Listen, one of them is really good and one of them, Young Forever is terrible.
Who is that? Sting? Like who is Mr. Hudson channeling on that record? Phil Collins, Sting, who is he channeling?
Terribleness. Why I Love You is great. And it's a great ending to the album. But then remember originally they had like 3 minutes of silence before Illest MF4 Alive.
Yeah, I saw that. I experienced that today. I was like, dang it, I need DOCS 1.5.
No. At least if you get it, I know the Apple Music version. I assume if you stream this, they've cut that out.
Not on Tidal.
On Apple Music, they did.
Good for them.
No, they updated the album this summer out of nowhere.
You did say that.
But it's great because looking at Rap Genius right now, Rap Genius still has in asterisks before the song starts, 3 minutes of silence.
That's funny.
So this is Southside, Mike Dean, Kanye. I used to love this record.
Yeah.
It's still good, but I used to love this.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this? I'm guessing you don't love it as much.
I think the beat is still dope. I'm not crazy about the song.
Mm. Yeah, Kanye is not really great on here. I kind of like the hook, but yeah, the hook and the bridge, that's hook, bridge, and beat. That's pretty much this song, but the rest of it, this song is good, not great to me. But you sound a little even lower than that.
Yeah, it's just very much whatever. I always think of the Russell Crowe part from the documentary. Like that, I don't want to say it ruined the song for me, but it just definitely added some life to it.
And yet you've never seen the Runaway video.
Never. Still haven't seen it.
That's something we could do when I'm in Ohio.
Oh God.
And then, but see, we have to be recording when you watch this.
Is it one of those things?
It's unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about the infamous ham.
Let's do it. Let's talk.
Lex Luger, Kanye, Mike Dean. So originally, this was the first leak really early on.
Mm-hmm.
It got a lot of hate.
Yeah, it did.
Did the first version have all the ridiculous over-instrumentation?
I don't think it had the big ending.
Yeah.
I do think that the hook was the way it was. I think the hate came from, or the backlash came from, that Lex Luger sound was really, really dominating 2010.
Right.
And this is Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Right.
So most people are thinking, I want to hear a sped up soul sample. You know, I want to hear some College Dropout, some Graduation, some something. I don't want to hear them rapping over a Lex Luger beat.
A Lex Luger beat with some cellos that are way too loud.
Yeah, this record still isn't mixed very well, even on the final version. It was mixed better.
Mike Dean, I want to know what you were thinking. Because it's like distractingly loud.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to turn down a record if I'm listening to it.
It's because you're old.
That's loud. I need that at about 15.
No, I mean, yeah, it just doesn't even, I don't know. The mix is terrible on this. Cello's way too loud. It makes it feel like, instead of like, so like, I think of That's My Chick, right? And how the instrumentation is integrated with break and the sample. Like, it feels like one song. This mm-hmm. feels like a Lex Luger beat that Mike Dean then played on top of. It does not feel like two separate things.
Yeah.
I don't really love, I don't know. I don't love Jan Kynes. Like, this song's okay. I get why it's a bonus track, but I'm glad this didn't make the album.
I don't mind Jay on this. I think Kanye's terrible on this. He had no idea what to do with this tempo. I feel like he really liked the beat and was just like, and just chaos happened. But I don't mind Jay on this. Jay on these bouncy, on these bounce records, like, he was one of the first East Coast rappers to rap in that Southern style.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like he kind of had a jump start. So he's able to sort of like maneuver his way around him. He knows what to do. So I feel like he does a lot better on this record flow wise.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I just don't really love. I never find myself thinking to myself, yeah, I want to listen to Ham.
I have.
Hmm.
Well, I remember it was on 2K, what, 11, 12? I think 2K, it was on 2K12. And that sort of like gave it a resurgence. Because then the Lex Luger sound had evolved into something else. And then, you know, this is why I always tell people to go back and listen to albums after the hype dies down. Because then you can take it in for what it is. Because a lot of people heard Ham and they didn't like it because it didn't match up with their expectations. Doesn't mean it was a whack record. I don't think it was a bad record. It just wasn't mixed right. And I didn't like Kanye on it. Like, The beat is dope. I like Jay on it. It doesn't bother me nearly as bad as, you know, Why I Love You, Made in America. Like, there's some whack records on here to me. And Ham isn't that crazy. But given the sequencing, which we'll talk about, and especially the ending, this was absolutely a bonus track.
Mm. Let's talk about Primetime.
Yes.
Produced by No ID.
I rapped on this.
Kanye gets Jay on this.
No, he doesn't.
He's so much more in the pocket with his flow. It's not even funny.
No.
Yeah.
No. Jay's whole, like, number scheme.
Yeah, right. So, from a wordplay perspective, Jay's got Kanye. But Kanye actually out-raps Jay.
No.
Listen to their flow. Kanye's in the pocket on this.
Okay. I'm not going to say that you didn't. I'm not going to say that he doesn't. I think that's
an interesting debate because, like, you could say, oh, that rapper's better than this rapper, but it's complicated because it depends on what you particularly care about as a fan, right? For some people, like what Jay's doing with the numbers, they're going to be like, boom, that's it. But the biggest thing I start with flow. Like if you're not rapping on it, if the flow isn't right, then the rest of it, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But this overall song is really good.
Yes, it is.
And this should have been on the album.
Yes, it should have. A couple of these bonus records should have been on the album.
This one specifically. I think at the time, Illest MF or Alive would have worked too. But Primetime specifically, I think definitely should have made the album. Yeah. No, it's a dope record. Shout out to No ID.
Yeah, absolutely.
And finally, we end with The Joy.
Yes.
Which was really a Good Friday record.
Yes, it was.
Produced by P-Rock, Kanye, Mike Dean. You know, we got The Makings of You. Curtis Mayfield hook. We've got P-Rock drums. We've got
the So Johnson
right
screams that they later got sued for.
Right. This song is cool.
What?
Even when I first heard it on Good Friday, I thought this is a cool record. This does not fit the album at all. Sounds nothing like it.
No, I mean, I'm still tripping off your first statement. Never
what,
mind.
What, that it's cool?
Yes.
It's a cool record.
Bugging. Did not need Kanye's second verse. If it was just Kanye's first verse and Jay's verse, this record would have been like dope. It's still a really dope record, but I don't mind
Kanye's second verse.
It takes a while to get to Jay because Jay does his thing on here. Not to say Kanye doesn't, but I like Jay on here.
Mm.
And to me, it takes too long to get to Jay.
The beat it's cool. Sorry, P-Rock. It's cool. It's a cool record. I'm not mad at this as a bonus track, but yeah, to me, this is a Good Friday record, you know?
Sure.
All right. So
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just like...
Yeah, you're like, what does that have to do with anything? Let's talk about the sequencing. So at the time, I don't think I loved the sequencing. I still don't like the French jazz that they play after like however many of these songs.
Yeah. Isn't that a theme song to a TV show or something like that?
I don't know what it is. I understand, like, I feel like this album is like if you have to buy into Lift Off and Made in America for the sequencing to make sense on this album. You know what I mean? Like if you hear Lift Off and you like it, then that totally actually would have made more sense as the intro.
Yeah.
But then you don't have an obvious place to put No Church in the Wild. So they sort of start with two intros.
Yeah.
Which is why on my 1.5, I just removed Liftoff. Wasn't that complicated. Aside from that and Made in America, like the idea of a slower record at that point makes sense. I just wish it was actually good. So like, you kind of have to rework it, but I actually feel like the sequencing's not bad on this now. How do you feel about it?
Here's my problem with the sequencing.
Right.
It's not the tracks in order, per se.
Okay.
That doesn't bother me at all. It actually works for the most part. It's how the songs end and begin.
Mm.
That is an art. When to fade a song out, how long the fade should be, should this be an abrupt stop, the distance between when a song stops and when a song starts, how a song starts. Like they end like rough drafts. A record will just stop or a record will just start and there's not enough time in between it. It's just like one song immediately to the other. And I'm not talking about how Otis runs into, what's the record? Gotta Love It, because I don't mind that at all. But like No Church in the Wild into Liftoff. It's just awkward.
That's why they have those little snippets to try to do something with it, but it just didn't work. I actually remember when I did the 1.5 for this, I did a lot of like fading and cutting, and like there was a lot of like little work when I did it.
Yeah, I didn't like any of that. So that kind of killed it for me. Mm. That kind of killed it for me.
So 5 years later.
Yep.
How do you feel about Watch the Throne overall?
You know, all in all, it's held up really well. I feel like it's held up really well. I don't think it's this amazing classic that withstood the test of time and changed music forever. I don't think it was that at all, but it's a pretty good album by two really great artists. Do I want to hear Watch the Throne 2? Yes. More than a Drake and Kanye album, more than a solo J album.
Mm. Yeah. Please someone help me. What's the long history of really good Drake and Kanye collabs?
You got Find Your Love.
What else
have they done? You know, I wanted that to be on Thank Me Later so bad. Nothing on Take Care. Nothing on Nothing Was the Same.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Nothing other than Drake's two bars on 30 Hours.
Yeah. And Pop Style, kind of.
Yes, that doesn't count.
Not really sure why people think they have chemistry. I mean, their sounds are just totally different.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if such a thing happens, then it's going to be kind of like the Drake and Future tape, where it's Drake jumping on a bunch of good music records.
Well, I mean, I agree.
Because if it's the opposite, if it's Kanye trying to do Controller 2, I mean, we're just going to spend the entire review laughing. I do not need Kanye over pseudo Party Next Door records. Like, that is not what I need in my life right now.
Yo, have you heard any of these new Party records from his album?
I'm holding out because I want to give him a real chance with his album.
These sound like records that Drake didn't want for views.
Didn't want, like, because they weren't good enough, or just didn't get?
Well, there's one in particular. Like, they're not whack.
Okay.
They're just like, oh, this was better when it was with you. Or this was better when it was, you know, it's like that.
So it's basically all the, like, when we heard the story about how, like, how Drake had a bunch of guys just cranking in the studio, making all these kind of records. They were basically, the best stuff went to Drake, Rihanna got a good one, and Party took what was left. Is that sort of the idea?
Yep.
Oh boy. Maybe there's a gem in here. Who knows? But it's too bad.
Very much so.
To me, when I look back on this, I don't know. I feel like this is, it's not like an instant classic, but there are records on here that to me stand the test of time because they don't sound like anything else really in these artists' respective catalog, which is kind of crazy because this is a huge catalog we're talking about here. Right. But like records like Gotta Have It and New Day, those just don't sound like normal beats. Like they don't sound weird or odd necessarily, but they're just different enough. You know, they don't sound like 2011, but they don't sound like they're trying to reach back to some old sound other. Do you know what I mean? Like there are a number of songs on here where I'm just like, right, that's just that song. You know, like Who Gonna Stop Me is kind of age now. Ham sounds like 2010, 2011. Illestema for Live sounds 2010, 2011. But like Murder, what does Murder sound like? You know what I mean?
I agree.
I feel like this is just a kind of a unique project. But to me, the legacy of this is more... again, like to me, this is maybe kind of like, I'm not saying they did it on purpose, but clearly a lot of the stuff that they did, we talked about at the opening, right? I think back on Side A, technically, you know, the way they rolled it out, digital only, like there's a lot of stuff that we thought in 2011 were kind of novelties that now we just kind of take for granted. And as we sort of maybe look at a Watch the Throne 2 possibly coming, it'd be interesting to see if it's really, if they try to take that sort of release to a whole another level, right? Now that we've, you know, because whatever Jay does next, you know, considering how Beyonce rolled out Lemonade, considering how Life of Pablo rolled out, like Jay just kind of can't like say, here's my album and title.
Yeah.
There's going to have to be something, you think. Even, you know, we made fun of him, even Frank Ocean, right? I mean, being super mysterious, weird video shows up on the website. Like people are really, they're really trying stuff and not just the, oh, I'm going to surprise drop my album, or oh, I'm gonna announce it the week of. Like there's a whole lot, like if you're a really big artist, like there's definitely like a whole rollout that's sort of happening now.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Jay could resist even we got it with this, like Otis got the Funk Flex premiere, you know, like I don't know if Jay can resist that initial Funk Flex premiere.
Of course not. But I don't know though. I feel like Tidal has sort of opened his eyes to, you know, cause now he is Funk Flex.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So what was the last Flex record that blasted off that made an impact because Flex blasted off? It was a Jay-Z record,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if he wants to restore that feeling, he wants to do it because he wants to do it, not because he needs to. But I feel like, especially with the streaming wars heating up and Tidal having a really good year, he's got to play it close.
So do you think we get to watch Throne 2 this year?
Yeah. No, not this year.
Not this year.
We'll get one next year.
You think we get a Jay album this year?
Yeah.
You think we get another Kanye album this year?
No.
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 Do you think we get a cruel winter or whatever it'll be? You think we get anything from Kanye?
I feel like Cruel Winter will be mostly Pusha. It'll be like what Ride or Die Volume 2 was for Rough Riders.
Mm.
So like Ride or Die Volume 1 was like DMX and Jay, and like it was like DMX.
Right.
And then Volume 2 was Jadakiss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Cruel Summer was Kanye and 2 Chainz and Big Sean.
I mean, they gave Big Sean that look on Click. Like, they were really like...
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Cruel Winter will be Pusha, Designer, and whoever else, you know, they want to feature.
Speaking of Pusha, where is his out? What's going on? Drug Dealers Anonymous came out, and it was like, okay, thanks.
And it was like, all right, what else you got?
Hmm.
So I don't think it came and went. I feel like people like Drug Dealers Anonymous, but you know, you don't just let a J record go like that.
Right. Without having
to follow up.
That's what I was trying to say, which is it's kind of weird to put that out and then just nothing.
Yep.
Mm. Anything else you want to say about Watch the Throne?
No, I think I'm good.
I still can't believe you don't like Why I Love You.
Nope.
I just don't. Sped up samples, man. It always works.
No, I'm good, son.
All right. So as we were saying before, first of all, to everybody who's been listening, thank you. 5 years. I'm not going to say, and we got another five. I have no idea how long we're going to do this, but it's been a great 5 years. If you've been listening for a while, we really appreciate that. Obviously, if you're brand new, we appreciate you joining us. And for those who've been listening for a while, please share your favorite old past episodes. Use the hashtag #ClockRadioSpeakers. Armand, you got anything else you want to talk about? I didn't even say anything at the top of the show. You've been putting some possibilities out there.
Things are happening.
Things are happening. Do you want to talk more at length about that?
Two more projects for the end of 2016 for me.
Ooh.
One will be out very soon and the other one will follow shortly thereafter.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm back rapping again.
Mm.
Marcus is in the attic. He said everything he needed to say.
Okay.
Now it's time to rap.
Okay.
So if you know my music, you know what that means.
Should people be following you on Instagram? Are you going to Snapchat the creation? What is your...
It's just... Actually, no. Don't follow me on Snapchat. Follow me on Snapchat.
That means follow him on Snapchat.
No. Seriously. Don't follow me on Snapchat. Just hit me up on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. Okay. Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Look up my Bandcamp, you know, just like you said with Frank Ocean's album, how you listen to Channel Orange to get ready for the new album. I strongly encourage you guys to listen to Kairos and Praise Break and Snooze Button 3 and even the older stuff, man. The 3-Day Weekend that Doc and I did and all that stuff, man. Like, just prepare yourselves because it's about to get a little crazy.
And on that note, I think that's it.